Strap yourself in, because we're set up, switched on, and ready to go.
Yes, sir, reading you loud and clear. The clock has started.
Five, four, three, two, one.
This week's episode of our podcast. Today we are going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our field. By sharing our collective expertise, we will show you how to harness, control, and use your own skill set to achieve ultimate success and live the life you want. And now, please welcome your host.
Welcome to this week's Smallest Cast podcast. This podcast is designed for small government contractors, service providers, and manufacturers as part of the government contractor ecosystem, connecting people, organizations, and resources. I'm your host, Just Nate. This week we have guest co-host, Mr. Greg Glover. Welcome, Gigi.
Wow, I've been promoted from helper person.
Can I start calling you that, Gigi? I like it. We used to have a big boss, now we have a Gigi. Okay.
By all means, continue forward as we introduce Hark Herald.
Yes, Hark Herald is back again. We are continuing our mini-series on the EOS. So Hark, just again, Hark is with EOS Worldwide, and we have been continuing on with a mini-series discussing the Vision Traction Organizer on the EOS model, right?
The six key components of the EOS model.
Correct. So far, we have completed people.
Vision and people.
Oh, there it is, right there. It's a big circle.
Vision and people.
It's in here, too. Okay. So, today we're going to focus on data, right?
Correct.
Hey, I got it right. Top, bottom, left, right.
There you go.
Box
flows.
Box check.
Okay. And I also have written down over here. What is... Okay. So, welcome back.
Thanks.
It keeps getting worse and worse,
I guess. This is going splendidly.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about the data component.
The
six key components of the EOS model.
Excellent. So, let's start off then. What's the data about?
Yeah, so data is all about running the organization on facts and figures, not on hunches or opinions. But really, what are the key data components that enable you to run your business efficiently and effectively and make sure that you're progressing toward achieving that vision that we've talked about?
Okay. So I like how you stated that it's not just about facts, right? Or not
feelings.
It's feelings, yeah. Not about the feelings, but about facts. Yeah, there you go. The opposite.
Yeah, because facts don't have feelings.
And there's another saying about feelings, too, that we can't say on air. We could, but we got to use the beep song. So,
yeah. So what I do when I'm working with the team, the leadership team, again, is to help them identify what are the 5 to 15 high-level numbers that give them an absolute pulse on their business. And so we work to establish that. We go through some exercises to get it down to 5 to 15 because typically they want to start with, like, 75. And one of the things in EOS we stress a lot is to make things simple. Don't overcomplicate. People tend to try to overcomplicate. So we really want to get them simple, and we want to get them to have less is more. What are the true numbers that provide you with that view into how the business is going?
Essentially, don't overthink it.
Correct. Correct.
The KISS theory. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah. And so... You know, when we talk about those 5 to 15 numbers, what we do is we work with the leadership team to put them into a scorecard that gives them an absolute pulse on the business so that if they're sitting in, Bali with on the beach and the cabana boy or girl comes up with their drink and with a sheet of paper underneath that has these 5 to 15 numbers, they don't have internet access, they can get an absolute pulse of where they are working in the organization, what's working, what's not, because those 5 to 15 numbers, those are their measurables. They know who is accountable for those each week, what the goal is, and then there's 13 weeks of trailing data so they can at a glance see if look for trends.
Okay. And those numbers should be, you say, I think you said every week producible, right?
Yes. And we work with the leadership team to get those to be as much as possible leading indicators as opposed to lagging. For instance, right? If you want to get 2 customers a week, that if you report that each week, that's a lagging indicator because you either have or you haven't. There's nothing you can do about it. So we work with the leadership team to get to the left of that with, okay, if you need to have 2 customers a week, what does that mean? Well, that means we need to send 4 proposals a week. Well, okay, in order to send 4 proposals, we need to have 10 phone calls or whatever, right? So we try to get it back as far as possible so that it's an activity-based measurable each week that you can identify and correct if there's issues before you get to the end result when it's too late to do anything with it.
Okay. So do they, let's continue on the road of your example of 2 customers a week. If I get 4 one week, do you still expect to get 2 the next week or can you flux?
So everything is you want to hit that goal that week.
Okay.
So you, otherwise you're, you know, we're not looking for the average. We're looking for each week. What do you need to do? What activities need to happen each week in order to meet that goal?
Okay.
So because you may do that and you may not get 2 customers that week, but you did the correct activities, that's what we can monitor. That's what we can hold people accountable to. And people know what their expectation is.
And I'm assuming these numbers change depending upon the business.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we work with the leadership team to identify what are their 5 to 15 numbers. And when they're working with an implementer, we'll do this during what we call the focus day, which is our first all-day session with the team. We'll come up with an initial scorecard, and we're very upfront and tell them it's going to take you 3 to 6 months to find a scorecard that you love, but we're going to get in there and take our first shot at it.
What are some examples of things that are, I guess, standard that people would want to use?
Yeah, so for instance, if it is, you know, you want to get to that end result with customers, it may be, you know, whatever in their process is to the left of that, whether it's phone calls, proposals going out the door. It may be there's like a dental clinic, and one of their measurables for their receptionist is what percentage of people come to the back of the clinic with a smile on their face. And that's her, her goal, her metric each week is that percentage. And so she will try to get them to smile something as they're heading to the back, because what they found is that improves the customer experience, and they've gotten that feedback. So that is how she contributes each week to achieving the vision, to achieving that 1 year goals, the 3 year picture, and the 10 year target.
Interesting. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. So we developed the scorecard with the leadership team. And then eventually we take that discipline down throughout the organization. So there's one at the leadership team level, there's at the department level, you know, whatever, however big the organization is, so that in the end, everybody in the organization has 1 to 3 measurables they are accountable for each week. And we can pull that thread and they understand how what they're doing aligns with achieving the overall vision.
Going back and tying in then, you know, everybody knows I have a portion of this in this process. I need to be able to go back and show my contribution and how everything ties in. And it also then makes everybody feel as though they are a contributing factor because they can go back and say, this was my piece that I contributed.
Right. Because really people want to be able to pull that thread, right? What do I do every day that is contributing to that bigger mission or vision? Like when I was deployed to Iraq, I was the commander of a civil engineer squadron. So I had plumbers, carpenters, electricians, heavy equipment operators, firefighters, explosive ordnance disposal, those types of folks. And we were operating a base as the Air Force, where the Army was actually out doing missions and PRT, Provisional Reconstitution Teams, but working with the Iraqis. And so I had the airmen on the base who were doing kind of, you know, more mundane kinds of things, right? They're plumbers, carpenters, electricians.
Right.
And to get them motivated to understand how what they're doing on a daily basis contributes to the bigger mission we had, right, which is Iraqi freedom.
Right.
And so, you know, my job as commander was to help draw that line. Well, with EOS, it makes it easier to draw that line because we're talking every day. We've gone through the accountability chart that we talked about in the people section, so everybody knows their roles and responsibilities. And now we bring it down to your daily or weekly activities. And so it makes it easier for people to draw that line.
Yeah, because everybody needs to understand how they fit into the bigger picture. And because you can get in, you know, depending upon what your job is, you know, you can fall into that thing of, oh, well, what I'm doing really doesn't matter, and this kind of thing. And this then goes back and points out why it does matter, how it fits in, and how you're supporting the bigger picture.
Exactly. And that's leadership's job, right, is to make sure that people understand that. And, you know, that should be, again, as we developed in the people component, the accountability chart, the roles and responsibilities, and you're able to tie those into daily activities. So, yeah, they want to know.
So right. I want to take it back real quick. So you had mentioned 5 to 15, what was it?
High-level measurables.
High-level measurables. But then you also said that everybody in the company or everybody on the leadership team should have 1 to 3 measurables per week?
Yeah, so thank you. So yeah, so the 5 to 15 is what is on the leadership team scorecard.
Okay.
So when they're sitting with that, their drink in their hand on the beach or wherever, that they can look at that one sheet of paper and get a pulse of what's happening in the organization.
Okay.
So those are the 5 to 15 that matter at the leadership team level.
Okay.
Eventually, we move the discipline down throughout the organization, so each division or department has one, but each person has 1 to 3 measurables that they are accountable for each week. They may not show up in the leadership team scorecard, they may be on a scorecard at the division level,
okay,
but everybody has 1 to 3 things that they know how they contribute, their activities contribute each week to accomplishing that vision.
Okay, excellent. What was your next question?
I didn't have a next question. I was looking at you.
So
I lost my train of thought.
So we thought, right, so what you've probably heard, what gets measured matters, or
yes,
you know, what matters gets measured, right?
Yep.
But also, what gets measured gets motivated. So you let people know, hey, this is what we're measuring, right? And so if you have salespeople, they understand what their goals are, and you know, a little bit of competition maybe, like, hey, I know I do this, and you know, I saw, you know, John's scorecard, and you know, I did 7 last week, he did 6, or whatever. There's the story of Charles Schwab when he owned Bethlehem Steel. So they went into a poorly performing plant, say that quickly. And the manager has said, hey, I tried different things. I just can't seem to get more heats, which is a unit of measurement in the steel for production, right? More heats out of the shifts. And so Schwab went to the shift supervisor and said, how many heats did you do this shift? And the guy said 6. So Schwab took a big piece of chalk, wrote it on the floor of the manufacturing, you know, of the plant there, a big 6. The next shift comes in and they see, hey, what's the number 6? Well, that's how many heats this shift did. The next morning, Schwab comes in, the 6 is crossed off, there's a big 7 on the floor.
Competition.
Right? And then eventually they got up to 10, 12 heats because what gets measured can be motivating.
Now, but in a factory, you got to be careful too, because you don't want to go too fast where you have another number next to it that says deaths or whatever.
No, but it does go back to the fact that the things that the boss asks about are the things that the employees tend to focus on. And so if you've identified what those things the boss is going to, you know, ask about, then they know what they need to focus on right off the bat. And it's not a guessing game for them.
Exactly. And like we talked about in the people section, we talked about the roles and responsibilities and the accountabilities.
Right.
This is a discussion, right? So it's not just, you know, comes from on high and is like, it's a, hey, the number we need to have is 8. Okay. Are you in agreement? Do you understand why it's, I mean, you have a discussion so that it's the person who's accountable for that number understands the why behind the number as well as how that contributes to the bigger vision.
Right.
Okay, well, let's go to a quick break. When we come back, I got a story to kind of walk through and explain. So, right back.
Business owners, looking for out-of-the-box solutions? Five Star Bank's Business Solutions Group is here to help you with all your financing needs. When you need a creative, innovative approach that goes beyond traditional solutions, think of Five Star Bank. We care about the growth of our local business community. With offices in Colorado Springs, Denver, and Trinidad, Five Star Bank is easy to find. Visit fivestar.bank to connect with us today. That's the number 5, STAR.bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Speak Smallest Cast podcast. This week we are going through our mini-series for the EOS model with Hark Herald. And this week we're going off of the data
component.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. So before break, I said we'd come back with a brief story. I've pretty much forgot it already. But it was brief. So I had worked for a company once that I hated the fact that they would always come down. This is a big boy government contractor, what we call big boys. And they would always come down, and I didn't understand this. They would come down and say, you need to develop your goals for the year. And then you were going to be, we had company goals, and then you had your own personal goals. But your personal goals, we would never get them right, ever. Because we would put our personal goals in, I, Nate Moser, want to, I don't know, you know, bring in 22% revenue this year on my part that I can, whatever. And they'd be like, nope, can't do that. That's not a goal. What do you mean? It's not a goal. It's a personal goal. I want to do that. How about, okay, I, Nate Moser, want to finish with my second master's degree. No, that's not a personal goal. What is a personal goal then? And they would respond to me saying, the personal goal needs to be something towards how to make the company goals. And which was, I could see a little bit how they do that, but it's definitely not a personal goal then. But to the point of measurable, right? They would always want them to be measurable, right? So that's kind of giving the a heads up. But in the end, what ended up happening was I'd be like, okay, what do you want me to put down then? Well, here are the goals that I want you to put down. If you were just going to hand them to me, why don't you just put them in my portal by yourself and then tell me to sign it? Because I'm not coming up with any goals by myself at this point. But things like that, right? I mean, that's measurable as wanting you to develop something.
Right. And so we talked, you know, in the vision component about the VTO, the goals for the year, right? The company goals, the 3 to 7 company goals.
Yep.
And so what you find in the EOS system is that we'll have those 3 to 7 company goals that the leadership team agrees on. And then there may be divisional goals that are department goals that do support those company level goals, right? And maybe you have a personal, and we're going to talk more about rocks when we get to the traction component, but you know, you may have a personal priority for the next 90 days that also plays into what is the company rock or the divisional goal or divisional rock for that quarter. So it can, right? Okay. You definitely do want to support whatever the company priorities are.
Yeah.
But you can also have, you know, your own truly personal goals that you're working with your supervisor in.
So when you said measurables, those 5 to 15 on a scorecard that the leadership team would take with, I want to go back to, have you seen like a standard one or two that you always see? Like, is it revenue based? I mean, there should be a standard, I would assume, at the leadership level that is important to every company, every small business anyway.
Yeah, so there's going to be something around financials, okay. You know, one or two. When I say something, it depends, right? But one or two, there's going to be some ops goals and weekly metrics. or measurables that are aligned with customer satisfaction, delivery times, quality assurance, you know, different processes to follow that. There's could be financial goals that aren't around revenue, but are just around, hey, we're going to, we need to reduce expenses by, you know, whatever, if that's a priority for the company that time.
Sure.
So the goals can be, you know, whatever is important for the company.
Yeah, and I know it's depends on what your company does and all that, but I would assume that there's going to be some standards, like you said, some type of financial goals, whether that be based on revenue, maybe it's based on profit, maybe it's, or whatever. I don't know if you'd go down to the profit level on a weekly basis.
Yeah, probably not. And again, so
I guess if you're Amazon, probably, but
yeah, so it depends on the organization. Yeah. It depends, right? Which is always the best answer of all, right? Well, yeah, it all depends.
Are you a lawyer?
but in the VTO, the Vision Traction Organizer, right, where we answered the eight questions, you know, what are your core values, who you are, your core focus, what you do, your 10-year target, where you're going, your marketing strategy, how you're going to get there. And then when we bring it down to the 3-year picture and the 1-year plan and the quarterly rocks, we actually have goals in there for revenue, for profit, and for whatever the measurable is for that unit or that organization. So we do look at the revenue and the profit as a separate, like we don't need to have a separate company goal because we've already, like we've identified those things. And then how do you get down to what is a weekly activity that supports, you know, achieving those goals, you know, is through the discovery process with the implementer and the team.
Could it be something down the lines of employee satisfaction that you're measuring?
Yeah, if there, and again, what we're trying to do is figure out what is a leading indicator for employees in that case, right? Yeah. If employee satisfaction is, we want to increase our engagement survey numbers, right? So that's a lagging indicator because you either did or you didn't.
Or
so,
employee retention, right?
Right.
Make, you know, make that go down or or up, I guess.
Or down, depending.
I guess it depends on where I'm at in my business life cycle.
But yeah, so we work with the team. Again, we try to get to a leading indicator. And so what do we think is going to have that impact? Well, what's going to have that impact is 2 one-on-ones with the manager every week, you know, or the manager's going to have 2 one-on-ones every week, you know, to get through all the people, right? So then that's a measurable activity that the manager can report on, and either she did it or she didn't, and we can then act on it, right? And so, and that's the other key thing with the measurables is in EOS, we are very firm on you either made it or you missed it. So, well, I got, my goal was 5 and I got 4 done. So you're telling me you missed it. You either made
no partial credit.
Correct. And so, you know, we're very definitive on that is the appropriate mindset is either made it or you missed it.
So and, no curve.
Right. And people, you know, are worried, what if we set the bar too high and we fail to achieve it? Well, what if you set the bar too low and you hit it all the time, right? Or you don't have a bar at all, right? The unaimed arrow always hits its mark or misses its mark, right? Because you don't know what you're aiming for. And that's when employees get frustrated and, you know, the employee engagement and satisfaction. It's like, well, I don't really know how I contribute to, I don't know what the expectation is. This sets it very black and white, and it makes it easier to have those conversations on, hey, you know, the expectation is 3 and you nailed it 90% of the time. That's great.
It also helps you with going above and beyond as well.
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, that time to sit down with employees and say, okay, here's your eval.
Right. And along with when we talked in the People Analyzer about the right people, right seats, and right people match your core values, and we have the People Analyzer to help do that. You know, this is all about developing that accountability and that pride in ownership for everybody in the organization so they understand how they are contributing and what the expectation is.
So, Hark, you, the last 2 weeks you've been here, you gave us, for both vision and people, you gave us, like, forms and pamphlets. Is there a special form for the data side?
Yeah, so the scorecard, so we have a template, right?
Okay.
Which lists the what the measurable is, who is accountable for that measurable? And so that's not who necessarily is like going to report it and put it into the thing, but sure. Like who's going to make sure that number gets hit?
Yeah.
So the measurable, the who, the goal, what it is, right? Whether it's a number or percentage, you know, a straight number or a percentage or a whatever it is. And then that 13 weeks of trailing data so that you can see it at a glance and look for trends.
So you, is it a rolling 13 weeks you do then?
Rolling 13 weeks. So you can always see it. And then you keep the history, right? But when sure. we show it, and there's software out there that was developed for use for companies running on EOS, and they have the scorecard built in. You fill it in with that information, and then it keeps that historical and just makes it really easy to take a glance and see, like, hey, we've got a trend here where we're not hitting it. What's going on? Let's analyze that, which then brings up the issues, which we're going to talk about later in a different episode. But, right, so this is to identify those things up front.
But the responsible person is probably going to be the influencer to make that number change, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It has to be, right?
It needs to be something they can have an impact
on. And so they have to have the backing from the rest of the leadership to say you have the not only the responsibility of this, but the power to make a change if you need to.
Absolutely. And we're gonna have that discussion, right? And up front and identify those responsibilities, authorities, and accountabilities so that it's crystal clear what the expectations are. Because that's one of the worst is, right? Like, I didn't know that was mine.
Exactly. And I think we touched on that the last time, was the whole responsible for something without the authority to make it happen is a recipe for failure every time.
Right. And so, you know, this is where the leadership team and the whole organization, and again, I work with the leadership team because we believe as goes the leadership team, so goes the rest of the organization. So I work with the leadership team. Eventually, these things filter down throughout the entire organization. But we say, listen, in order for EOS to work, you, the leadership team, need to be open, honest, and vulnerable. You need to be open. In other words, if you have something to say, say it. You need to be honest with yourself as well as with the other people in the room, and vulnerable in that you're willing to listen. To your point, you're not necessarily listening to respond. You're listening to hear and understand, and understand if somebody's critiquing you, it's being done with love and with for the good of the organization, you know, and because that's part of that open, honest, and vulnerable.
Right, because there's a big difference between listening and waiting to talk.
Exactly.
So
what? He just waited to say that.
So you guys, I think you both kind of touched on it, is all the responsibility but no accountability.
Authority.
Or authority. I guess responsibility would be accountability as well, right? But yeah, no authority. That's like the project management 101, right? A lot of project managers, they have all the responsibility of making this project go off without a hitch, but they don't have any of the authority to make it happen, essentially. They don't have higher fire capability. They don't, especially in a matrix organization.
Yeah.
So it makes it even more difficult. But I think that's where your leadership team needs to come in and say, okay, so whatever you need, let me know so we can work side by side and make this happen.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, we talk about the difference between responsibility and accountability. You know, the head of sales on the leadership team is accountable for the numbers. They may not be responsible for making the calls, right? They may have a team that does that, but they're accountable because that is their role on the leadership team. And so they're accountable and they're responsible for making it happen, but they may not be the people making the calls, for instance.
Okay. What else you got, Hark?
Yeah, so, you know, the other thing is we take that scorecard and you can, you know, also use it in your personal life, right? We'll find leadership team members or team members of organizations running on EOS that, because the scorecard is concrete and it's activity based, you know, they'll use that for other things in their lives. You know, hey, listen, I'm going to work out, you know, three times a week, or I'm going to do this thing, and they'll have an accountability partner that they will then say, hey, let's go through our scorecards. Let's go through your scorecard. Let's go through my scorecard. Because you're gonna have to look at somebody and say, made it or missed it.
Right. You cannot use this with your wife and whether or not she made dinner on time, man. I'm just saying, it's a recipe for failure.
Not a newlywed. Okay. But I'll still probably make that mistake someday.
Yeah. The other thing is, again, in EOS, we talk about trying to be to make things simple and not make things hard. So you'll hear organizations talk about KPIs and OKRs and, you know, all, and it's like, so you're talking about a measurable, right? Like, can we just cut through all the consulting terms? You just want to know what the number is, right? Yeah. Like, how about if we all just call it a measurable?
Yeah.
It's a little bit simpler.
Just give me the easy one.
Yeah. It doesn't sound as fancy. It's harder for a consultant to come in and charge you for you know, a measurable, but they can charge you to help you develop a KPI because that sounds cool.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the term? I don't know if you, either one of you guys know. I don't remember off the top of my head. For when you develop your own personal goals, they have to be measurable. They have to be
smart.
Smart. There you go. The SMART goal system.
Yep. And we talk about that when we talk about the ROCs, the 90-day priorities. They need to be specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound.
Okay.
And all of our ROCs are about 90 days, and we can tell you how we figure that out. But 90 days is the time-bound, so it already comes with that aspect built in. And then we try to make sure it's specific, measurable, achievable, and relevant or realistic.
Okay. Well, cool. Greg, what do you got? Anything else on the data side?
Well, I was going to say the thing that I've taken away from this, for the most part, is without a roadmap, which is what the EOS system seems to be providing here, any path will get you there. So if you get a system like this, it helps drive you towards the right goals, the right end state.
Correct, and you can't get lost because it's a circle.
Very good.
Okay. Hark, any last parting thoughts on data?
No, again, it's is all about simplifying, understanding what are the leadership team level, those 5 to 15 numbers that give you that pulse on the organization. And if you work with an implementer, they will help you to figure out those 5 to 15. So
okay.
As an EOS implementer, I may have said this, so I'm not a consultant. I don't come in and tell you what you're supposed to do. That's what a consultant is. I'm a teacher, a coach, and a facilitator. So I'm going to teach you the tools. I'm going to coach you on using them. And I'm going to facilitate you all, the answers in the room. I'm going to facilitate the leadership team to derive at what those numbers are.
Okay. How do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so the easiest is if you go to harkeos.com, harkeos.com. That will take you to my webpage. And in that, you can communicate with me there. Also, I still, you know, if reach out, I'll send anybody who reaches out a traction book if they'd like to get the book for free. And they can also do what we call an organizational checkup, which is they can answer how strong they believe their organization currently is on these six key components and get that results sent back out to them.
Okay. One thing we didn't talk about, though, on this 5 to 15 items that you're going to put down on the scorecard, can this be a recurring thing that you keep massaging over and over, living document type scenario?
Yeah, absolutely. And
so it could change, right?
Yeah, and we tell people, you know, initially it's going to take you 5 to 6 months, 2 years, to really get to a scorecard that you love. Okay. And then depending on what happens, you may have a different like measurable that suddenly becomes really important for you to understand. You know, maybe it's expenses, you know, have become an issue. Okay, we're going to monitor what is happening in this arena.
So we didn't talk about how long it takes. As an implementer, how long does it take for this part of the process, the data process? To develop that scorecard. Do you do it one afternoon?
Yeah, so we'll take initial crack at the scorecard during our first all-day session.
Okay.
We'll take the initial crack, and then our process, which I will talk about it in one of these, is to do space-based learning, we call it. So we do 3 full-day sessions initially over the course of about 60 days. So an initial session, 30 days later, another one, 30 days later, another one. And at each of those sessions, we review all the work we've done to date. So we take a look at it 3 times in 60 days at the initial scorecard. And then every quarter, we're going to take a look at it and see if we're still good.
Okay. want to make sure I get this done right. Okay. Well, good information on the data side. Next time when we meet, we're going to be talking about issues.
Correct.
Issues.
Issues. I have no issues. I am the issue.
You will get no argument.
Okay.
From us are the production staff.
What?
Yes. Jenny, the production the production meister.
Create the issues.
Jenny, can you pause that? Anyway, okay. Well, thanks, Hark, for coming on. And next time, we were going to talk about issues as part of the EOS model.
All right.
With that, it's just Nate signing off.
Thanks for listening.
You've reached the end of another episode of the SmallsCast podcast. Connect with us at thesmalls.org. Don't forget to sign up to our newsletter to receive our free materials. See you at the next episode.
See you at the next episode.